Good Easter morning. What a great day. It's a momentous occasion. So let's just get right to it. Say hello, Linda.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Resurrection Day, even better. I'm just going to say this. I don't know why, but one of the things I do admire about the Catholic Church is they know how to celebrate Advent. They call it the Advent season, and it lasts like 3 months. And I got to tell you that I think that's pretty cool. And I think this is a good day for this subject, actually. And the subject is, and the reason I bring it to our listeners is because I need to bring it to myself. Because this is just my regular issue. I'm not sure what the right word. Struggle. And that is, how do you live the Christian life? And so I'm going to give a little background for me. This is my story. And that is, raised in a very Protestant religion. There, every time the doors opened in this particular denomination, my dad was a deacon, my mom was a Sunday school teacher, and, you know, on and on and on. And then I got away from that and kind of went through my period of questioning and whether it was true, whether it really was a God, whether Jesus was the Son of God, you know, on and on. And then I came back, and I'm going to tell this because my struggle was I never felt good enough. I never felt like I read, and I was taught this, but I accepted it. I mean, I'm not blaming people. I accepted this, that, I haven't read my Bible yet. Oh, I haven't told enough people about Jesus. Oh, I missed Wednesday night prayer service. You know, there was always a feeling of guilt until finally I reached a point of I gave up. I just gave up and said, I can't do this. And was fortunate enough to come upon, or God brought, there's no doubt in my mind, God brought me a mentor. And for 3 years, I followed this guy. I went to every Bible study that I could go to. I went on retreats. I hung out of his apartment when I could because I wanted to know and understand. And I told Linda this, in 3 years, you only learned like 3 things from him. But it's because that was the only 3 things he really taught. But man, he brought them from every place he could bring them from. And that first one is, and most important, I do believe, for me is, Dave, he used to say to me, there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you any more or any less. That set me free. I say that, but I still try to put myself under bondage. But the truth is that set me free because it's not how he loves me the way I am. It doesn't matter what I do today. He's still going to love me. And he's not going to love me more if I'm in church than if I'm at home with my wife. I mean, the difference is the same. The second thing he taught me, or God taught me, was no man or woman can live the Christian life. We don't have the power. But once we accept Jesus Christ and he comes into our heart in the form of the Holy Spirit, we now have a power that we can draw on. Do you want to add to that, Linda?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people are sort of like under some type of bondage in Christ. I'm so not comparing or anything like that, and I guess after I grew up in another environment, I could have been that way too, but I just didn't.
Well, tell your story a little bit.
Well, I just, sometimes I just feel like we've said it enough, but okay. I'll say it again. you know, I did was exposed to Christianity through my grandmother. So my life was that I went to, in the morning, to Sunday school and church. And then, because my father was a Muslim, in the afternoon, I spent in the mosque. And so, though the mosque and the rules in Islam are pretty regulated, you know, for, you know, and I have to say it, for a lot of the Muslim community, and especially for the African-American Muslim community, I always was taught that I was a queen. I was grown up in that, and though I felt restricted in some areas, I realized that that was a freedom to that. And so, I mean, I'm not sure. I guess I did. I don't know what it is, but I never felt that. I feel guilty when I do something wrong, trust me, like any human being. But I never felt that, oh, my God, I have to do this more this, more that. So I can't really compare. Then when I became a Christian older in life, because I hadn't really been grown up under that, I just so accepted the freedom of Christ, because, like, I wasn't under those, you got to wear this, you got to eat this, da-da-da-da-da. I was free from that. So I totally just kind of accepted the freedom of Christ, and I'm not saying I don't have periods of guilt, but I'm not guilt-ridden.
Well, and I know we've told this story many times, but again, if somebody's listening, they haven't heard it. They may or may not have heard it. The thing I love about it, and I benefit from this, is that Linda went from a relatively structured, stricted religion to she got saved by the witness of one person, basically, and then she had to study and learn on her own. And what I love about it is she didn't bring all the baggage I have. So she read the Bible, and when it says you're free in Christ, she believed it.
I guess, I have guilt when I do something wrong. That's conviction. It is true, but I don't have like the, oh my God, I'm a worm.
You gotta do something.
I guess I just, maybe because I studied by myself for 2 years.
See, I do. I believe you have you were free to get it by the Holy Spirit on your own, which I sometimes think is, you know, I'm glad we've got Bible teachers. Don't misunderstand it. Sometimes I just want to say to folks, shut everybody up. Go read the Word.
I feel like that experience with me and God and the Holy Spirit for 2 years, because I was a closet Christian, because it was going to cause so much stuff, that is how I became a Christian. I saw somebody walk the Christian life, and the way she walked and talked and how she treated people is what drawn me to that. Like, I want that kind of freedom. I want that kind of love. And my grandmother, too. I will never, you know, she really helped, and my grandparents. My grandfather also was a deacon in the church.
Sure.
So I had this double life all of my life. And I guess after I became an adult and could choose for myself, really, without even my husband, when I finally confessed that, hey, I've been a Christian for 2 years, and all that happened, it just freed me. I didn't want to be under bondage anymore.
So, and I don't either, but boy, I keep trying to pick it back up and take it back on. And that just comes from a long, long time of training. And again, I'm not blaming, you know, I used to blame people and the church being the denomination, until I finally realized that, no, there were people telling the truth and sharing the truth. But the culture that I grew up in was just judgmental, frankly. Judgmental, and, you know, I can't tell you how many Sundays as a child, as a young teenager, I felt beat up when the sermon was over, because I was told how I hadn't done enough. I haven't, you know, I wasn't doing this or that, or, you know, and I knew I didn't measure up to what they were talking about, you know. And I still, to this day, have this tendency to head back there, because it needs training, and I'm trying to retrain my mind.
And I do feel like in a certain era, like we're talking maybe the 60s,
sure,
70s, 80s, all the way up to the 80s, there are eras in the church when the church grows, I feel, the church as a body grows. And I do feel like probably in those eras, they taught us what they had heard, and they taught us how they had walked.
Sure.
And so the church as a body matures, too, and gets revelation knowledge. And so when they get that, a lot of times the Lord, I feel like, downloads revelation knowledge to church leaders, to church body, to take them out of bondage to certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, if you think about that, men, just how men were acting, treating each other and stuff, there was a lot of mental bondage. Because
right.
We're talking about civil rights era, da-da-da-da-da. So a lot of the teachings that people were teaching in that era, people were starting to question.
Well, we can dissect that. I think we can spend a whole show on that, you know, of one group reacting to the other. And, you know, let's say in my little Leave It to Beaver world,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we get, we got to stay away from this. So it just got stricter and stricter at times. But, yeah, you don't go to the same denomination I grew up in. You don't go to that. I know, because I visit. You don't get the old fire and brimstone and
right.
the message that you used to get. Thank God.
I feel like God reveals himself to us to grow us up in certain areas. And when he does that, he's saying, hey, you're free from this. Take that mindset. Let this mindset be in you.
Right.
At its prime. And so I feel like he sees, this is Linda, a Lindaism. He sees us struggling, and I'm talking about the church body and the society. He sees us struggling in certain eras, and then he reveals some knowledge to what we need, and then we have to grow out of that mindset.
And I think we are.
Yes.
I think it's still in progress. It is for me as an individual to get rid of all these, I'm going to say it, prejudices that I have grown up with. And prejudice is not necessarily black or white. It's belief that if you live in this part of town, if you look at this house, looks like this, you drive this car. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff.
I call it mindset, because it's
okay.
mindset that you were grown up into. And as you grow as a person, sometimes what is really hard is to release old mindset.
So perfect segue, thank you very much, is we, and myself, have to release that old mindset that says, I'm not worthy. And yet, it's a paradox.
It is.
Because the truth is, I'm not worthy.
I don't know. I've never believed I'm not worthy. I understand, but I've never believed that.
Well, what I'm saying is, without Christ,
mm-hmm.
I can't come to the throne of God. At least that's my feeling. You know, and I'm not trying to rain on anybody. As a Christian, I'm worthy through the blood of Christ. And I think there's a semantics here is, obviously, Jesus thought I was worthy long before I accepted him. So I understand how you feel we're worthy. I guess what I'm saying is, I think we're worthy of receiving the salvation of Christ. But I don't think we're worthy of true, complete relationship without Christ.
And it's okay, because I feel like that might be the difference that we feel. And maybe how I grew up, because I never grew up feeling unworthy of without him. You know, I feel like he completes me,
sure.
and because of him,
see,
I am complete. But I guess I feel like when I read I am his son or his daughter, like I took that on. So I took that on without the and I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, but I guess because of my understanding and teaching of myself and maybe how I understood the word right or wrong, I never took on that I'm not worthy without him. I'm worthy because of him.
Yes.
So that I just own that. You know, like, so I'm not worthy because I'm in him. He breathes in me. I'm such a part of him. It can't be that I'm unworthy because he is in me and I am here.
Don't misunderstand. Again, I think I'm saying without Christ. You're saying with Christ. And we're in agreement.
Okay. And I guess you suck because I don't see my life ever without him. So I can never be unworthy because he's such a part of me.
Well, you know.
And that just may be my understanding because I have been self-taught a lot of things in the Word.
Well, I think sometimes there are times when I wish I could go back to the Word without any history and read it again. And the truth is, I can't. And so let's try to get back on track. I think these are all important and important to this topic. But what I want to talk to people about is what I need to hear. And that is, okay, it's Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get up and go to work and deal with people and issues. That's what I get paid to do. I mean, if there weren't any issues, I wouldn't have a job, you know. And I want to walk like Christ walked. But then about 9 o'clock, something happens and I'm angry. Or, you know, I've just got a bad attitude, whatever, you know. And, you know, by the end of the day, there are days, no, not every day, but there are days when I just go, I really do feel like a worm. I kind of feel like, oh, I am such a failure. And I want to talk to that feeling for me and for others. And that is, yeah, you're going to stumble. Okay, but my word says that I can take that stumble, whatever it is, maybe it's anger, maybe I've spoken poorly of someone or to someone, or whatever it is, I can take that to God and say, I'm sorry, agree with him that what dealing with this situation wasn't Christ-like, and he will forgive me each and every time. And here's the part that I've only learned in the last 10 years. Get up and walk away and leave it there. I've been taught, I have this mindset, okay, now what do I got to do to make it right? And the truth is God's already made it right. It's already been taken care of. I just have to accept that sin or that failure was paid for at the cross. I don't have to pay for it again.
No, and I think that is a good thing that, to me, walking in, we're talking about sonship. So when you're walking in sonship, you know, you are embody the righteousness of God. And so, you know, when you embody that, yeah, we're going to walk, we're going to mess up, we're going to fall, and we're going to slip. The trick or the whole thing to that is that, okay, you apologize. If you really said or done something to somebody, then I do feel like you owe them an apology. And you say you ask God for forgiveness, and you move on. I think that sometimes when people wallow, you just have to, there's some things that you need to go to God about what is it in me that wants to wallow in that.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, believe me, I do.
And he'll reveal that to you and just.
And I don't really want to talk about the revelation. No, the truth is God has revealed at times why I wallow. He says, you wallow because it's an excuse to continue in your sin. Ow. And I'm just being honest, you know, where we go, I blew it. Well, okay, tomorrow, I've already blown it. I might as well just stay right here. Well, that's just an excuse to stay in your sin for me. And
it probably is for a lot of people, me too. If I chose to wallow in something, is it because the sin is something in your heart you really want to continue in anyway?
Right.
You know, I think about adultery.
Uh-huh. Right.
You can know that is wrong. You already know that it's wrong.
And you can be bloody beat up.
And you can be bloody beat up. But why are you keeping on with that? because you want to continue in that.
So that's, again, that's a perfect segue, because we've given the background of, and again, I'm owning this for me, and I'm thinking there's probably a lot of other
things. And I experienced in my life, I have to own it for myself, because really that is, I think what you said was really true and honest. Sometimes we're just not willing to give up the sin.
Amen. So that too, how do you do better? Because that was the frustrating part for me. At age 23, when I truly surrendered, now I was saved, but surrendered and said, Lord, here you go. This, you can have it, because I'm sick of this, how I'm doing. I'm obviously not capable. So if anything better happens, it'll have to be you. And I began to understand I couldn't live the Christian life. I have to depend on the Holy Spirit.
Now that, amen.
So we've led up to acceptance. Step one to me is acceptance. And that is that you agree and choose to believe that you are accepted as you are. Number two to me is surrender. You know, you're never going to really love the true, vibrant, fruitful life of a Christian until you say, Lord, you're in charge. I'm not.
And then I think the third thing is, you know, the scripture comes in mind, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And what that scripture is saying, that we have to put on a new mindset. It is the mindset of the world to take on guilt and take it on inside of you.
Or retaliate.
Or right.
Power.
No, or control. Because sometimes your wallowing in it gives you a measure of control.
Ooh, nice.
You know, and sometimes we haven't really given up the control to God. So, you know, really sometimes you have to sit and reflect and ask God, what do I need here? And what are you saying to me in this spot? How can I move forward? And after that, what you hear him say, obey. You know, and I'm making it sound simple, but
it is simple.
It
really
is when we obey.
It's hard to execute.
It's hard to execute. It is a lot of times, because we're going to have to give up some things.
Yep.
We're going to have to be honest. We're going to have to take ownership of what we've done. So that's the hard part of it. The other part is to take on the mindset of Christ, that I don't have to stay here. I'm free in Christ, and he has given me abundant, great life if I choose to walk in it. So there's a crossroad there. You can choose to wallow or choose to walk in freedom, and that choice is yours. That's your free will right there.
And we're still leading up to the main thing I want to talk to you. So, again, I'm going to go back, because I want people to see how this, I hope, accept, well, salvation, frankly, and then acceptance of who you are, that God loves you just that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then surrender to say, Lord, it's your life. I want you to do what you want to do in my life, and I want to be part of it. I want to cooperate, because I want to enjoy your presence. And then
taking on his mindset, the mindset of Christ.
And then learning to take on the mindset of Christ, to renew your mind by meditating on the Word, by spending quality. We've talked about this for the last few Sundays. Of, you know, really establishing that true relationship, personal, not corporate, not church, your personal relationship. Then finally, to me, here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, is, again, it's Monday morning, and I'm facing another week of challenges to my Christianity, because my old man is still there. How do I deal with that? How do I get there? Well, it's the first 4 or 5 steps, whatever it was.
Right, and finally, obey.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times it's a simple choice. But my personal feeling is, and this is where I really want to go, by dependence on the Holy Spirit, Jesus in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agree.
He is Jesus was the only person who ever really, truly, successfully, completely lived the Christian life. I mean, totally. I mean, there's a great number of people we can look at, but he was the one who did it right. And one of your favorite names for Jesus is the Way Shower. I like that. I never heard that before. And people sometimes, I think we miss that Jesus came to pay for our sins and die for us, that we would have a path to heaven and relationship with God. But one of the primary things he did was he came to show us how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started my mentor, I went to the Gospel of John, and that's where I began to see that Jesus, though he was the Son of God, chose to take on the form of a servant, the form of a man, and walk like we walk, and that is independence of the Holy Spirit. And I try not to turn these things into Bible studies, but I do have a couple of scriptures from the Gospel of John. That here's the first one is, well, I'm on it, yeah. This is John chapter 5, verse 19. And this is Jesus' words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. The Son can do nothing of himself. But what he seeth the Father do, what things soever he doeth, these things doeth the Son likewise. The key there is the Son can do nothing of himself. He was saying, as a man, living as a man, I don't do anything of myself. I depend on God. I depend on the Spirit. Here's another verse, same chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. And he's talking about of his own self as a man. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Again, what a perfect surrender statement. What a perfect, I give control. So that's one. And then finally, everybody, I think, knows this one. This is Galatians 2:20. And it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, you know, and then there's all kinds of, there's plenty of others. So I'm going to make this real simple. This may close the show. I don't think so. But how do you do that? How do you appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is so simple. Help. One of my favorite prayers is one word. Help. You know, now, as I do get better at this, I don't have to voice it as often as I used to, but it's still that attitude of, Lord, I need you.
And I'm totally dependent on you. And I get that, you know, but this is the great Sunday to do this, because if we're talking about sonship, then we are sons and daughters in the resurrection of Christ and his Son. He's the first of many. So he resurrected. When he resurrected, when he rose again, he rose out of the dirt and the mire. And we can take that. We are the resurrected children of God, which means that we don't have to be buried in our sins. We can rise from that. And it starts. How does that start? With a mindset and owning of who you are, the resurrected child of this God of the universe, you know?
Right. We are the princes and princesses
the sons and daughters of God.
We're full adopted. We're adopted, but we're full birthrights.
Yes.
And that includes the presence of God in us.
In us. And I think sometimes we think that there's power in just that statement.
Amen.
If you think about it, because if you really are the resurrected children of God. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, he was the firstborn of the resurrected children of God.
Well, that's funny. Again, here we go. The Holy Spirit jumps in. By the way, this whole program is a good example of surrender, because I trust us. We don't come to the show.
We have nothing
scripted. Deliberately, we don't come scripted. Now, I usually have the title. I usually have a general idea, but we trust the Holy Spirit to talk between us, and he's in Linda and he's in me, and there's a concert that happens. That's a good illustration. But where I was going with that is that he is there to help us. And I'm going to, again, don't want to turn this into a Bible study.
But maybe God is turning it into one.
Maybe. But I would encourage you, if you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, go to John chapters 14 and 17, because that is where Jesus explained the Holy Spirit to his disciples. You know, and I love that little section, because here he is. This is the last thing. This is his last opportunity to speak to his beloved disciples. And this is what he chose to talk about, because he felt like it was the most important thing he could tell.
And he did say,
that's what you do when you only got a few minutes. It's the last
I will give you a comforter.
Yeah.
I will give you a counselor. So, and what is he? Mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace. He is that so that we can be that.
Yeah.
He is our way. He is the mighty God. Not that we're just the children of God who have all the rights. When you go and you're adopted, you get papers to say, hey, you are my child now. Well, our papers was the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross. So we don't have to live and wallow and take on that guilt. That is not of God.
Yeah. And now please understand.
Not beating anybody up, not saying that they're wrong. We just want you to, to really get who you are. Because it was even when he was in being tempted by the devil, what did he say to him? You know, you can tell me all of this, but I eat the word of God. So if we really study the word of God and eat that, take that in our being, then we can live by that.
Right. You know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a lot to that. Part of it is accepting who you are.
A lot.
Part of it is going to the words and agreeing with it and spending enough time to understand it. And ask.
He'll show it to you. He will show you, because he will say, if you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm going to take this word. Take me to the word. Who am I? You are this.
Right.
You are that. You are my child.
Right.
You are a son. You are a royal priestess. This is who you are. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made, meaning that I took intricate time to make you, to mold you, and for you to be my child. So if you take on, this is who you really are. The devil wants us to believe that we're a worm, that we are incapable, that we don't have any self control. That is not who God says.
We're doomed and condemned.
And that we're doomed and condemned. Because if you believe that, then you're not functional. You can't function as a child of God. But who is he? He is a liar.
And that's why I bring this message. We bring this message is because I still struggle with it. I still, you know, have to go, oh, yeah, wait a minute. No, I'm not staying here. I'm not wallowing in this. This is not the real me. This is the old facsimile. This is the old person. This isn't the new God. You know, say what you will about Protestant denominations, and I'm not going to pick. But one of the things I do love is their baptisms. And you are raised to walk in newness of life. Wow.
Well, if you think about the symbolism.
Old man and spirit.
Right. The symbolism of the baptism is that when you are down in the water, that is that old man.
Being put to death.
Being put to death. That's the symbolism of your baptism. The moment you raise up straightforward in Christ as a new person, a new creature. That is the period, and it takes years sometimes, and some people get it right away, but the moment you've raised up all of the incapabilities that you were into the oneness with God, that you are all that he is. He says, I am, and you are that. I am peace. You are that.
It's all available to you.
Yes.
So for those of you and myself, and see, this has brought tears to my eyes, who struggle, who don't feel worthy.
The struggle is real.
Yeah, it's real. It's okay, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, don't beat you up for struggling, you know, because we live in this world, and we have this flesh that wants to go certain ways, do certain things, and so on and so on. But I'm saying this to myself and to you. You don't have to stay there. And I stay there less than I used to.
Thank God.
And I hope I stay there even less today and tomorrow, because that's part of the process. And you know, so... You know, don't do what I do. I find ways to beat myself up for beating myself up. You know, I mean, I go, I'm such a word for not believing that. Get over it. You know?
Yeah. And I just, in my mindset, and it's, I hope that it's more, take on the freedom of who you are in Christ. Wear that. You know, be robed in his righteousness.
And we need to read and really read. Try to shut everybody else's voice out and read the word for yourself, where it says that we are free. We are no longer under the law.
Mm-hmm.
The law was a guide and also a proof of a concept. And I won't go into all that. But, you know, I'm reading, and the word says, why did you allow, you know, I think it's Galatians, or maybe it's Colossians, I can't remember which one. Paul says, why did you allow these people to put you back under the law of what you should eat, and what you should drink, and what you, you know,
Right, and I feel like when you're struggling like that, when I'm struggling with, Lord, you know, I want to take on that guilt and that righteousness, I really, who am I in God? I meditate on that. I meditate on who I am in Christ, honey. And it can almost make me shout right here. Because I no longer have to be a worm. I am a princess. I am a royal priest. I am the daughter of the Most High God. How could I be a worm? You know, I have to tell myself that to walk in that. So it's not like I'm saying you're wrong, you're right. It's just that I have to tell myself that daily. That's how I meet my day, to conquer the inadequacies that I would normally feel, the self-doubt in myself. I have to tell myself who I am, and I serve a mighty counselor. I have wisdom because my Father has wisdom. I mean, you have to feed yourself the Word of God more than you feed yourself the doubt that the devil will bring on you.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to believe that more than you believe the lie.
Right.
And so I'm going to add to that, and I've done this a few times, and okay, guys, use some discernment and some, you know, whatever. Say that loud.
Oh, yeah.
Because our enemy knows us. He's had lots and lots and lots of practice with human nature. And I have to, I think he knows me personally. He studied since I was born. He knows where my weaknesses are. He knows which buttons to push, 9 yards. And there have been times when I have confronted him and not or his emissaries verbally and said, no, I'm not putting up with this. This is not true. And quote the scripture if you can bring it. If you can't quote the scripture, quote the principle. It's the same.
It is the word that is coming from the Holy Spirit.
No, I am not this or that. No, that is not true, and I'm not accepting it.
And watch the words you speak over yourself.
Amen.
I mean, and this is a weakness for me that I am still working through on how, I'm not clumsy, I'm not stupid. And sometimes I've said those things and I have to cancel, like, no, I'm not stupid. No, I'm not less than. No, I'm not. These weren't even the words that the devil spoke over me. These were words I spoke over myself. And so sometimes cancel those words when you are about to speak negativity over yourself. I usually say that, like, I cancel that. That's not who I am,
Make it practical.
Yeah.
If you have to make it practical. I'm learning to do that, to not be embarrassed in my own private time or whatever, to say out loud,
I agree.
I agree with this.
Yes. And I catch myself when I'm old now, I can't move, da-da-da-da, and I still say these things, but I'm really working on not speaking that. My youth is renewed every day. I'm getting better and better. Little things that I know it may sound simple, but trust me, because that mindset slips into you, those words slip into you, and you start operating from that.
Amen.
So you have to cancel even the words. This is not even the enemy. Sometimes the enemy don't even have a foothold. That's us.
I've got the perfect scripture.
What?
How do you grow your faith? By the hearing of the word. So say it out loud.
Yes.
I've done this a few times, and it's been amazing. I had a situation a few years ago because I still laugh about it, where I really felt like I was being attacked two or three nights in a row. And until finally I said out loud, okay, this is it. You either leave and leave me alone, or my big brother's coming down here and kick your butt. Now, I know that sounds silly, but you know what? It worked. That was the end of it.
Well, so it may sound silly, but is it whatever works for you?
It works for me.
Silly or not.
I like to think of it in a lot of different ways. And big brother is one of them.
Yeah, and the Lord just said there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So that was really saying we can either speak life over ourselves, and being a nurse, I have witnessed people speak death over themselves because they are always talking about how sick they are. I have this, I have that, I can't do this anymore. And then I see those people who do have a life-limiting illness, but they say, I don't believe you guys, you can't sell me that, I'm going to live another 3 years, and dang if they don't, because they have spoke life over themselves.
Right.
So there is power in our words, and I don't care who gets this or who feels threatened by this. The words are power of entity that go in the whole world system, and they go and they produce. And if it wasn't true, it wouldn't be in the word.
Well, God says,
right,
my word does not go out void. And what he meant was, when my word goes out, it affects.
It changes things.
It changes things. Well, we have that.
Mm-hmm.
We are God's presence on earth.
Right.
And he wants to speak to us.
And he
now,
does.
Guys, all I'm going to say to you is, use some common sense. Don't misunderstand. I mean, if you're a CIO or CEO and you're in the board meeting, it's probably not a great idea to stand up and start whatever, but to yourself, in your heart, in your mind. And then there are other times when you can say it out loud and let everybody else join in.
It's even in the work situation, sometimes, and I catch myself, oh, this place is so-and-so-and-so. But then I have to stop in the middle of that, even when I'm saying something or venting to another coworker. But you know what? What we do is so important. You almost have to switch it in the middle of your rant. But what we do is so important. The people that we serve, and we all do the best we can, and we do a good job.
Right.
So that you switch it. And not only are you changing your mindset, but a lot of times you're changing their mindset. Sometimes the power of that word is very important.
You're a manager. You set the tone. If you say it out loud enough times, eventually your team's going to accept it. I'm not a manager anymore. I'm a team member. But I have deliberately worked to build that team, and this is part of how I do it, by saying, we can do this. This is not insurmountable. Come on. You know, let's get in the ring and draw out the solution because we can do this. It's the same thing. So, again, my ultimate goal this morning was to give our readers, our listeners, and myself a reminder. I am not alone. I am not defenseless. I am not without power. I have God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in me to help me. So my prayer, once again, is the most simplest there is. Help, Lord, help me. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want more self-control. Help me with self-control. Lord, I want to love like you want. Help me to love like you love. You know, name them all the struggles and say them out loud if that works for you. I would encourage you to do that. Take the time, and when you go, you get up, it's Sunday, maybe you're not struggling today because it's Sunday. You know, it's Easter. You're on top of the world. Tomorrow's another day. I would say to you, even if it's on the way to work, because you have to get up early and you don't have a lot of quiet time, but on the way to work, so we're, and I used, my mentor used to say this, you're on. Lord, you're on.
Showtime. But you know, sometimes if you don't, because I'm learning to do this, and usually a lot of times we want you guys to know that a lot of things that we bring up, like even today, are struggles that we do have. We are, like we say, this is the view from the pew. I do feel like a lot of the struggles that we have, like every day now that I have another position, I don't always have the time that I used to have, but I have learned to turn my car into a sanctuary.
Amen.
So I would suggest, you know, sometimes if you're like, we live in Nashville and the traffic is wow. So that time has become a sanctuary for me, and I'm pleading, I'm listening to God. That is my time in the morning. But whatever, and sometimes in the evening, I might catch another little bit of time on the weekends. I try to get, however it fits into your day. You know, it is great to hear from mentors. It's great to hear from pastors and those people who have studied and really lived the word. But it is even better. The best is to spend time with God and hearing for yourself.
Yeah, I call it rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, and I'm sharing this with folks. So let's say you know that today you have a meeting
mm-hmm.
that's going to be challenging, and maybe you have a leadership role. Rehearse that with God. Say, God, how do I handle this? And a lot of times for me, it's not specific, you know, topics. It's not like, well, here's your agenda. It's attitude. He said, you know, David, you're a servant. You may be leading the meeting, but remember, you're a servant. I want you to love these people. I want you to respect these people. I want you to listen and not talk through the whole thing, which I did today.
And you know, I think he's really working on me, because even with our relationship with God, a lot of it, we feel like we got to talk. But a lot of us, a lot of getting that wisdom and revelation knowledge is listening. So he is really working on me about just listen. Don't have an agenda. Don't try to get your agenda across. Just listen.
Could you repeat that? I want to listen. I'm just kidding. No, I'm saying the same thing to me. I love what you said last week. Listen with your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds strange, but I've been thinking about that. I really like it. It means focused,
mm-hmm.
true. I've shut everything else, and I'm hearing the words, but I'm also listening to your body, to your eyes, to your attitude, to your posture. I'm really listening. I'm not just, you know, thinking the whole time I'm looking at you what I want to say next, which is what I do a lot.
Me too.
I'm working in that.
Me too.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
Lord, help.
Help. Yeah.
So I don't know about you. We're a little early. We got another 8 minutes, but
yeah.
I kind of feel like we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a recap real quick because there's some steps leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, and we didn't turn this into evangelism 101, but I'm gonna say it. First one is accepting the free gift of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And today is so appropriate.
Yes.
Because he was risen from the dead that we might be resurrected.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, submission, surrender to the Lordship of Christ, to God's will for your life. Trust me, it's much easier once you've done that and you're not at odds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, renew your mind. If you're not in the Word, get in the Word. Right?
Yeah.
And, do whatever it takes. You know, I listen to the Bible on tape. I'm like Linda, I'm spending at least an hour each way, 2 hours in the car. I'm trying to use that time. But whatever it takes, if the only thing you've got is a teacher, I mean, if that's what you need, then listen to those guys. Find good ones, you know. But I would encourage you to open the Word and say, Lord, speak to me.
He will.
Man, you will be amazed. That may take a little while because there's a tuning of our spirit. There's a tuning of ourselves to God. That's the relationship. And then finally, ask for help.
Yeah.
Because it is available.
Definitely.
You know, God, it's not that God's going, nah, I'm not helping you today. You know.
Thank God he doesn't do that.
No.
I need him every day.
And when I have to remind myself, this is what helps, is I regularly remind myself that my Heavenly Father is my parent.
Mm-hmm.
He is my daddy. And my daddy, except now I'm getting choked up, my daddy wants to be involved in my life.
Like
and
the
he wants
son.
To offer advice and help and
he runs
resources and all kinds of stuff because he's my daddy.
Well, and think about it. Just envision a prodigal son and envision when you have messed up and you've been away and that when you call out, Lord, help me, he runs to, hey, wait a minute, that's my son. That's my daughter. He runs to you. I sometimes, you know, the one good thing about having a vivid imagination is to really see those things in your mind, that he really does that for you. When you speak out, be quiet there. Hey, wait a minute. My son or my daughter is calling for me. When your children call for you and it's that certain neediness in their voice, you drop everything to go see what they want. He does the same for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we close on that.
I think we can.
Why don't you close us?
Well, Father God, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for downloading, because really we didn't have too much on our own, so you just showed up. And as they say, you showed up and showed out. So we thank you for that. And then we just say help. We use that simple prayer. Help us as we walk this daily. Help us be a living word, you know, a living epistle of your word. Let us send this out as you see fit, and let us walk this word. And thank you that you have used us to walk the word daily, even in our struggles, because in our struggles, we witness to somebody else. Thank you, God, for that. We just love and adore you, and we thank you for this time together. Amen.
Amen. Bye, folks. See you next Sunday. God willing, and the creek don't rise.